So we're back on the podcast. This is actually the first episode of the new season. I probably won't feel like it because obviously there won't be any major break between last season and this season. The only difference will be that the artwork's changed. but that's what this is. So I suppose we better get started. The night and I invade your window, impatient when you are so irresistible, irresponsibly beautiful. I waited for you as long as I could, the night and I, adorning the avenue till the pavement knew our footprint. I looked down at my own perpetual path so I couldn't see the way you leant on the window frame, watching over your wayward baby. Wrapping my head in blossoms and fruit that fell from the forest around me so that I couldn't hear your siren call. You are the whole world exploding all around me, your arms a soothing supernova. I may be dead, I may yet die, I may not ever understand, but in your grasp I am free. Is there anything more blatantly disrespectful than somebody being really beautiful but unobtainable because, you know. I've actually been thinking a lot lately about kind of the idea of, you know, someone who you want so much but you can't have them and why that happens. You know, is it that they are so great, or is it just that you're obsessed with them because you can't have them? And sometimes I think that can be the case. Like, you know, if you eventually did get to be with that person, and then it's like, oh, okay, this wasn't as great as I thought it would be. But I don't know. I think sometimes there are like rare people who actually are, you know, this is that good. You know what I mean? I feel like maybe my life is a search for that person who, you know, are so insatiably, that's what I meant to say, irresistible, and, you know, just somebody, you know, so wonderful. And then it turns out they actually are like that in real life. Day to day, they are actually exactly what I imagined. I'll let you know how the search goes. It's probably not going to be great, let's be real. But you never know. Hopefully I will find that person who is wonderful, both near and far. When I think of you, I am blinded by July. I am surrounded by the summer, when all I did was adore you, sitting on the beach, throwing honey and hope to the sea, listening to the same 16 silly love songs, imagining that our romance had possessed the world around us. You know, memories can be really powerful, you know. I mean, and not just like remembering certain things and certain places and times, but like how the memory of one person can like take over an entire like time of your life, and it just repeats and reoccurs. Like, you know, you start associating a certain person with a certain like time or season or something like that, and that's kind of scary, but also kind of nice. Like that, there's someone for me who just pretty much owns the month of July, and every time I think about July, or every time it is July, I think about that person a lot. And it's just based on one thing that happened, you know, just one weekend, you know what I mean? But like that whole month just feels like them for me, you know. We just went away for the weekend, and we went dancing, and we went to the beach and stuff, and it was really beautiful. And now it's like every year when that month comes around, I just think about them all the time. And it's hard sometimes, you know, to be kind of haunted by the happy times that you had that aren't here anymore. But also it's kind of nice, you know, to get to relive that, even if it is just sort of for a few seconds of passing nostalgia. I think it can be beautiful. When I love someone, I want them to be overwhelmed with joy. I want them to know nothing but the most exquisite enjoyment. And that's how I know that you never loved me. Because you could never allow me to feel the same. There are people that I've loved in my life that didn't love me, and I am learning to be okay with that. You know, I think sometimes you focus so much on how you feel about somebody and wanting to be with them, and then you get to be with them, and in your head you kind of make excuses for some of the fucked up things that they do, or, you know, don't do, as may be the case. And you try and pretend like it's fine and it's normal, and, you know, that they love you in their own way, and you kind of, it's like you're apologizing to yourself for the way that they are and the way that they treat you. And it's not until much later that you can say to yourself, you know what, that wasn't real, you know, or they were using you, or they didn't love you in the way that you love them, and you gave them, you know, your idea of love, and they took it and they didn't want to give anything back. And it's hard to come to terms with that, and to be accepting of it, and to say, you know, this happened. But I think you kind of have to, because then not only can you let go of that, but you can do things better in the future. You can make sure that you're in a position where you can protect yourself, because, and that sounds really crazy, but you kind of have to, you know, because something I've learned a lot in my life is that there are people who don't care about other people. There are people that have this almost robotic approach to other people and other humans, and they don't see other people as like
you know, an entire person with a heart and a soul and a mind. You know, there are some people that will be super manipulative. There are some people that will honestly try and trick you. And you think that all that stuff goes out the window once you become an adult. But I'm here to tell you, no, it does not. There are some people who will be, to all intents and purposes, a scam. And once you've been hurt one time and you learn from that and you accept that and you say that's not going to happen to me again, then you can start protecting yourself and you can start really appraising things honestly and saying, okay, is this normal or am I just accepting it because I like the way this person looks or I like the way that they make me feel sometimes, you know what I mean? And I think that's so important, you know, for everybody to do that, to start honestly assessing their relationships with people, their interactions with people, assess the way people treat you and say, would I act this way? Be honest about it and say, you know, would I do this to another person that I allegedly loved or cared for, or even just a, you know, just a stranger, would I act this way to them? And unfortunately, sometimes the only way you can truly do that is by being burned in the first place. You asked me to smile a little bit more, so I skipped into the kitchen decorated in rainbow ribbons. I hopped up onto the breakfast bar, babbling about bubbles and boyfriends, juggling nonsensical knives that could cut through your nerves as you stare in despair, watching me drop all but one, using the last to craft a sticky, sweet smile from the leftover jam. I've never really understood the compulsion to tell strangers to smile or something. Like, I mean, their face is their business, you know what I mean? Unless someone's walking down the street, like, literally committing a murder in front of you or something like that. Like, do you really need to tell them what to do with their own body? As long as they're not, like, committing a crime or being super outrageous, like, couldn't you just mind your business? Because, I mean, you know, minding your business, it's free. It's something everybody can do. It's a very accessible hobby. And, you know, I don't get what compels people to just, I mean, I don't even get what compels people to talk to strangers, as you guys will know. I'm not really one for, you know, doing that. I don't even really talk to people that I know, but I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. I mean, I've had it happen to me and I've seen it happening to other people and I'm just like, imagine being so fucking smug and so up yourself that you think that you just randomly have a right to tell people what to do with their own face. Like, what? What kind of entitlement nonsense is that? So I guess I kind of wrote this little thing. You know. I mean, to be real, I probably wouldn't actually threaten someone with a knife if they told me to smile, because, you know, I'm a Guardian reading pacifist, so that's not really something that's in my wheelhouse. But I mean, it's fun to think about, so I like the imagery of the jam. That was fun. I quite like jam. I think it's a very unproblematic thing, you know. Like, if you had like if there was like a food blog called like Your Fave Food Is Problematic. God, I remember like the regular version of that on Tumblr. Good times, great memories. But anyway, I feel like jam would be up there. Jam, marmalade, broccoli. Broccoli's fucking great. But anyways, back to what I was saying. Yeah, I like the imagery of the jam, you know, just kind of imagining this really like scared person just like looking up at the sideboard, and there's this bitch on there like, I'm not gonna smile, but here's me playing with some knives and jam. How about that? Nice. The title for that, All You Need Is Smiles, actually comes from Arrested Development, which is one of my favourite shows ever. Because there's a song in it that... Do you know, actually, I've just thought about it. I can't remember whether it's George or Oscar. You know, the twins. It's one of the twins. And he releases this like, really cringy song called All You Need Is Smiles. And I think about that song all the time. But I love Arrested Development. And I used to sit and watch it. Because it used to be on like really late at night on BBC Two. And I used to... when I should have been asleep, I used to get up and I used to just sort of put the TV on my room onto, I want to say it was on BBC Two. I used to just like sit and watch it really quietly and like in the middle of the night. And that was a really fun moment. Like I felt very secret, very fun. And I also sometimes used to plug in my Sega and I would play Sonic and Alex Kidd in like the middle of the night, and what's weird is that I would then be fine for school the next morning, but now if I get less than like 12 hours sleep, I'm absolutely exhausted for like the next week. I don't even, it's so wild to me. That's disrespectful, but I mean, what can I do? This must be the perils of old age. Oh God, I haven't even reached being 30 yet. God knows how I'm going to survive that. It's midnight, and I'm wearily awake because you are invading, infringing on my dreams, stalking me as I sleep. You have a sweet smile as you do it, or in your car or under the pier, and you are holding my hand like you're in love with me, taking my lips with yours as if they mean the world to you. And I'm almost afraid to wake up, addicted to the way that I imagine us, wishing you could frighten me like Freddy so I could run away and resist you. Tonight I am awake, I remain craving rest, perched on the end of my bed, drinking cup after cup of whatever it takes to keep you away. Because I know that when I see you, I'll rip myself to pieces if you ask me to. This is about the July guy, because dreaming about him is really nice. And I always wake up feeling really happy and, you know, like everything is wonderful and perfect. but it's also difficult because I know that it's all very complicated. And I don't know when I'm going to see him again. I know that I will, and I hope that it will be soon, but I don't know when it will be. And... so to wake up and be sort of surrounded by, you know, this feeling of closeness to him, but knowing that he's not there, knowing that I can't reach out and really immerse myself in that because things are complicated and there are things between us and it's all fucked up. It makes it difficult to kind of go about my day and get on with all the things that I need to do because I'm like, you know, unable to escape from him. And it's not his fault. And I know that we'll figure it out sooner or later, but I guess it's hard to wait until then. And sometimes I feel like I don't want to fall asleep, just in case we end up together, you know, in my subconscious. And then I wake up feeling angry at both him and myself that just not working out the way I want it to. But sometimes I just can't help myself, you know, because it feels like we get closer every single time I see him there. We almost always go to the same place, you know. It's crazy. It's like astral projection, maybe. Like, maybe we're meeting in the same place. I don't know. But I miss him sometimes. Okay, that's all for this week's episode, and I will see you next week when we return on Sunday. In the meantime, you can find more of my work at jenniferwan.com, or you can find links in the description to this. At my website, there's lots of fun content. There's videos, audio stuff, written projects. There's also free content, and there's also the information that you'll need to access paid content as well, such as my books or my music or content through my Patreon and early release program stuff. All the information is on my website. Patreon starts from as low as $1 to access content early, to access exclusive content that isn't released to anybody else, to access up until the end of this month, actually. If you subscribe, then you get an exclusive piece of merch that is not currently available anywhere else. You also get access to stuff like my behind the scenes private Instagram and things like that. So you can subscribe to my Patreon in the description below or at my website. You can also find me on social media with the username Miss J Squared. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, YouTube, a whole bunch of places basically. You can also find details of live events that I'm doing. There's a link in the description, and you can also find out through my website. What am I doing at the moment? Yes, I have a new EP coming out next month on the 10th of May. It's called Subliminals, and I'm sure it'll be very fun. that's a ringing endorsement, isn't it? No, it is. I had a lovely time doing it, and so, yeah, that'll be out on the 10th of May. But if you just truly cannot wait until then you can, you can find a song that I did... that I released on SoundCloud quite recently, actually. And the link to my SoundCloud is in my description. It's a song called Dreamed About You, and it was really fun to make, and I had a wonderful time with that too. So do you know what? I should just record one of these and just play it at the end of every episode, because I always forget stuff, or I get myself all confused. I don't know. You can check out on my website, actually. There'll be two new videos this week. There's a video for my poem Sweetness, which you heard earlier, as well as the poem you heard earlier, I'm Your Boyfriend Now, Nancy. The first one will be released on Monday, and that'll be I'm Your Boyfriend Now, Nancy. And the second one, Sweetness, will be released on Friday on my website, which is jenniferwan.com. But Patreon subscribers can get them now. You can log into the members area on my website with the usual password, and you can watch them as well as accessing other exclusive content that is available for you at the moment. I'd like to thank my wonderful friend Amanda, because I just love her. She really is a queen, an icon, a legend. Anyways, I should go. I have many, many things to do today. But I will see you again next week. Good night, my love.